Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Good evening and welcome. It's nice to have your company on this Monday evening. Do hope you've had a good week. It's lovely to be back in Spain. I was thinking about the intro when I said it'd be nice to say lovely to be back in Spain in the sunshine, except for I've left a jolly good sunshine in Ireland. Anyway, nice to be back in Spain once again presenting the programme from the TRE studios. How was your week? Good, I hope. I'm sure mine was as good as well. What have we got on the programme for you this evening? Well, the usual famous birthdays coming up in Ireland this week. We'll have to have a look at the birthday file. There'll be a little bit of a history lesson for you. The number one song on this very day, the 15th of July, back in 1974. You will hear that on the programme. There will be another anecdote from Patricia Traynor. We haven't heard from Patricia for a few weeks. And she'll be telling us about what we would call in Ireland an old strap. A bold one, right? A woman by the name of Derver Gilla. I don't know if you heard of her before. Anyway, Patricia will tell us all about it. And of course, George Lee will be popping in to tell us all about what was happening in the news in Ireland over the last 7 days or thereabouts. So there we are. That's what we have coming up for you. Just a quick reminder, if you would like to get involved in the programme in any way, or if you would like to get in contact, we'd love to hear from you. As always, you can email Ger, G-E-R, at tre.radio. That will get you to me. So we'll be taking a look at the famous birthdays, just in case there's somebody there that you know and you might need to send a card to. And you know what? We do the famous birthdays on a weekly basis. If there's somebody in your world celebrating a birthday on any particular week and you'd like me to give them a mention, maybe they're in Ireland, maybe they're in England, maybe they're here in Spain, that's okay. Let me know, and let me know what date, and I'll give them a mention on the Monday before, if it doesn't happen to fall on a Monday. All right, do that. Ger, G-E-R, at tre.radio. So, famous birthdays. Today, Monday the 15th of July, Sean Lamass. He was a veteran of the 1916 Rising. He also fought in the War of Independence and the Civil War. And he became Taoiseach of Ireland in 1959 and remained so until 1966. He was born in Dublin in 1899, Sean Lamass. He was also the father-in-law of Charles Hockey. Yeah, now you know who we're talking about. Joseph Campbell, a poet, was born in Belfast in 1879. And Joseph Campbell was the man who wrote the words to My Laggin' Love. Tomorrow is the 16th of July. Joe Lynch, well-known Irish actor, was born in Mallow in County Cork in 1925 on that day. Unfortunately, Joe Lynch no longer with us. He was a great entertainer, a good singer as well, if I can recall. You'll remember him from things like Bracken. And was he in the Reardons? Maybe he was. And he was definitely in Glenroe. Wednesday is the 17th of July. Vincent Brown, fabulous journalist and broadcaster, was born in Broadford in County Limerick. There's a Broadford in County Clare as well, but he was born in Limerick in 1944. So we say happy 75th birthday to Vincent Brown. Thursday is the 18th of July. Cathal Brua, revolutionary. He also, like Sean Lamass, fought in the 1916 Rising, the War of Independence and the Civil War. He was born in Dublin in 1874. There's a barracks named after him, an army barracks, the Cathal Brua Army Barracks in Dublin. Shane Horgan, the rugby player, born in Bellewstown in 1978. Happy 41st birthday to Shane Horgan. Nothing of interest on Friday, so we skip to Saturday, the 20th of July. Vincent Mad Dog Coll. Who? Yeah, Vincent Coll. He was born in Gweedore in County Donegal in 1908. He became an Irish mob hitman in New York in the 1920s. He died in 1932, so he was the grand old age of 24. So you can imagine, yeah. Tom Crean, the Irish seaman and Antarctic explorer. He was born in Annascaul in County Kerry in 1877. And Joe O'Toole, politician, was born in Dingle in County Kerry in 1947, 72 years ago. Finally, next Sunday is the 21st of July. And Steve Collins, the professional boxer, born in Dublin 1964. Happy 55th birthday to him. And finally, a man who unfortunately is no longer with us, but we have his words to remind us of him. John B. Keane, fabulous writer, born in Listowel in 1928. There we go. Some of the famous Irish birthdays of consequence this week. I thought you might like to know about them. So there you have it. If it is your birthday this coming week, a very happy birthday to you. And we wish you well on your special day. So there's usually a musical piece in there that we can draw something from. And I decided what I would do is I would use the fact that the person who wrote the words to My Laggan Love, Joseph Campbell, the poet, that we'd use that particular song to start the programme. And who better to sing it than the wonderful Sinead O'Connor? And here it is, My Laggan Love.
Where laggan streams sing me blows a lily fair. The twilight gleam is in her eyes. The night
it's absolutely stunning, isn't it? It comes from Sinead O'Connor. It's called My Laggin' Love. And we played it because the man who wrote the words to that, Joseph Campbell, was born on this day, the 15th of July, in Belfast in 1879. There we go. Going to take a very quick break, come back to me just after that, and I will introduce you to Patricia, who has another fabulous anecdote for us.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net. Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Welcome back to the programme. I did say to you before the break that Patricia would be popping in with another anecdote, and she is indeed. She's going to be talking to us. Well, look, here she is to introduce it herself. Patricia.
Well, today I'm going to talk about a lady that many of you may not have heard of, but who had a very important role to play in Irish history. Her name was Dervorgilla. Now, I think there are times when we would all like to be able to turn the clock back and perhaps change a succession of events that have resulted from something. For instance, if you think of the First World War, was triggered by the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand in Sarajevo on the 25th of June 1914. And I think to myself, this Dervorgilla is one of those cases. If we start with Dermot McMurrough, Dermot McMurrough was a king of Leinster. He became king actually when he was only 15. He had heard that the wife of Tiernan O'Rourke was the king of Breffni, and he had heard that he was mistreating his wife, Dervorgilla. But he also heard that Dervorgilla would be willing to leave her husband. So he arranged for her to be brought to him while Tiernan O'Rourke was on a pilgrimage to Lough Derg. It's called St. Patrick's Purgatory, in fact. Dervorgilla had known Dermot McMurrough for many years, and so she was more than willing to be kidnapped and to go and live with him, even though McMurrough had already two wives. Well, Tiernan O'Rourke, when he came back from his pilgrimage and found his wife had gone, you could imagine that he was furious, and even more furious when he found out that she had gone with his arch enemy, Dermot McMurrough. He asked Dermot McMurrough to return her, and McMurrough refused. However, Tiernan O'Rourke went to see the High King and asked him to intervene on his behalf. The High King was Turlough O'Connor. He said that yes, McMurrough would have to return Dervorgilla, and also that he would be fined, he would have to pay money, and now that was stipulated by Brechin law at the time. McMurrough returned Dervorgilla, but he refused to pay the fine. Now, this was an insult, really, to O'Rourke, and he swore that he would take his revenge on McMurrough in the future. When O'Rourke heard years later that McMurrough's ally, McLaughlin, had been killed, he decided to attack Leinster, and he came with such fury and such violence that McMurrough was forced to flee for his life. He escaped by boat to Wales and asked King Henry II of England for help. King Henry sent him to Richard de Clare, who was also known as the Earl of Pembroke and more commonly known as Strongbow because of his great skill with the bow and arrow. In Ireland at this time, such sophisticated weapons as bows and arrows were unknown. McMurrough promised Strongbow two things if he would help him to regain his kingdom. One, the hand of his daughter Aoife in marriage, and two, the right to be his successor whenever he died. Strongbow accepted. And with a force of Anglo-Norman fighting men, they sailed to Ireland and easily defeated O'Rourke. And McMurrough became once again King of Leinster. However, he died a year later, and Strongbow married the beautiful Aoife and became the new King of Leinster. He gave great areas of land in recompense to those Anglo-Norman warriors who had helped him, and they settled down to live in Ireland and learned Irish. Amazing when you think of Anglo-Normans at the time, probably spoke French and some English, obviously, but they settled down, and not only did they learn Irish, they decided to dress like Irish people and adopted Irish customs. King Henry II of England watched with despair as he saw his nobles becoming more Irish than the Irish, and realised that he had to act quickly if he was to stop these nobles getting out of his control. So he went over and wanted to remind them that he was their king, and he proclaimed himself Lord High Sheriff of Ireland. His real reason for invading Ireland at this point was to regain control of his noblemen, such as Strongbow. And it was only incidentally that he decided to take an interest in Ireland. He came over in 1169. The story of Dermot and Dervorgilla is important for Irish history in that it was because of Dervorgilla that O'Rourke attacked Dermot and that he went for help to England and that the English king's nobleman Strongbow became King of Leinster and King Henry decided he had to put a stop to his noblemen getting out of control. So it was really at this point in history that the Irish problem began. The Irish problem for the Irish was how to get the English out of Ireland and for the English how to dominate the Irish. It might never have happened if it hadn't been for Dervorgilla.
Going back to the corner where I first saw you. Gonna camp in my sleeping bag, I'm not gonna move. Got some words on cardboard, got your picture in my head saying, if you see this girl, can you tell her where I am? Some try to hand me money, but they don't understand. I'm not broke, I'm just a broken-hearted man. I know it makes no sense, but what else can I do? And how can I move on when I'm still in love with you? Cause if one day you wake up and find that you're missing me, and your heart starts to wonder where if I could be, thinking maybe you'll come back here to the place that beat me. And you'll see me waiting for you on the corner of the street. So I'm not moving, I'm not moving.
Song. It comes from The Script, Irish band who did so well and have been doing so well down through the years, and The Man Who Can't Be Moved. And thank you, by the way, to Patricia for the lovely story about Dervorgilla, a strap. That's what my mother would call her, a strap. If you know somebody who's Irish, they'll explain it to you. Right? It's not rude. It's not. I promise you, it's not. Now, I did say that I was going to be playing the number one song in Ireland on this very day back in 1974, and that's exactly what we're going to do. It's a man that is no stranger to the programme. So, let's take a listen to him. His name is Big Tom. His name was Tom McBride, but we all knew him as Big Tom. He was from Castle Blaney in County Monaghan. And here he is with the number one song in Ireland on this day in 1974, Old Love Letters.
I came upon a bundle of letters one day. I had in my mind to throw them away, but I broke the faded ribbon before I thought again. I opened up the first one when I noticed your name. Why did I keep those old love letters? I had almost forgotten you. Why did I read those old love letters? Those old love letters from you. There were many, many pages all about old times. The blurs from your lonely tears were covered up by mine. I heard your voice again, love. I saw your sweet lips move. I read the words, I love you. I said, I love you too. Why did I keep those old love letters? I had almost forgotten you. Why did I read those old love letters? Those old love letters from you. I burned those old love letters, the ones that you're part of. I'll take a spade and bury deep the ashes of love. I'm trying to forget you, though I know there's no use. 'Cause when you love somebody, that feeling's hard to lose. Why did I keep those old love letters? I had almost forgotten. Why did I read those old love letters? Those old love letters from you. Those old love letters from you.
Big Tom McBride and Old Love Letters, the number one song in Ireland on this day back in 1974. I am going to take a very quick break. Come back to me just after that. And I'll give you a little bit of an Irish history lesson, if you're interested.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney, in association with EmeraldConnection.net. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney, in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Welcome back to the programme. We always like to give you a little bit of a history lesson, some stories that were making headlines across the world in relation to Ireland or maybe at home. And I bring them to you for the week that is relevant. Like this week, today for instance, the 15th of July, back in 1927, Countess Markowitz, the Irish patriot, died. In 1942, Brendan, otherwise known as Paddy Finucan from Dublin, the RAF's youngest ever wing commander at 21 years of age, was shot down and killed off the French coast. 1987, U2 played its very first show in Madrid. It attracted 115,000 people for one show, the largest crowd of the year. 1999, on this day, it was revealed that since 1998, all telephone, email and fax messages between Ireland and Britain, and probably the United States, were taped by the British government. The bold things. Tuesday is the 16th of July, 1803. On that day, following an explosion at his arms depot on that date, Robert Emmett, brought forward his planned rebellion in Dublin to the 23rd of July. In 1999, Olympic champion Michelle De Bruyn was stripped of her Irish swimming records. The triple gold medal winner at the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta was banned for 4 years by the FINA in August of 1998 for tampering with a urine sample. On Wednesday, it is the 17th of July, and on that day, 80 years ago, 1945, Shannon Airport received its first visitors. Indeed it did. It opened, as did the customs-free zone in the airport. 1951, on that day, the Abbey Theatre in Dublin burnt down. Ironically, the play that had closed that evening had soldiers on stage singing "Keep the Home Fires Burning." I jest you not. 1970, on that day, the National Youth Orchestra of Ireland made its debut. In 1998, salmonella food poisoning outbreaks in Wicklow and Donegal threatened the £10 million import industry in eggs from Northern Ireland. Thursday of this week is the 18th of July, and on that day, back in 1822, the Royal Theatre, or the Theatre Royal in Dublin, opened its doors to the public for the first time. In 1870, Michael Davitt was sentenced to 15 years penal servitude for gun running. 1920, 19 people were killed in 4 days of sectarian violence in Derry. In 1966, 15 years after it had burnt down, the rebuilt Abbey Theatre reopened. In 1970, after having been in prison for unlawful assembly and breach of peace, the anti-popery Reverend Ian Paisley was elected to Westminster. And in 1999, on that day, the Boys' Own star Shane Lynch escaped unhurt with a dramatic 100 mile per hour crash during a car rally. Friday is the 19th of July. On that day in 1999, Amnesty International honoured its longest serving member in Ireland. The lady's name was Iris Bardon. They made a presentation to her on her 100th birthday. That was nice. And in the year 2009, the Irish author Frank McCourt died of cancer. The Limerick native became a New York school teacher for over 30 years, and then he achieved literary fame later in life with his best-selling childhood memoir, Angela's Ashes. Saturday is the 20th of July, and on that day in 1922, the Free State Army took Limerick from the anti-treaty Republicans. In 1933, Owen O'Duffy became the leader of the National Guard, otherwise known in Ireland as the Blueshirts. In 1982, the IRA killed 10 servicemen in bomb attacks in Hyde Park and Regent's Park in London. And in 1998, 7-year-old Adele Chapman from Derry left hospital. 12 weeks earlier, she became the first triple organ transplant child when she underwent a pioneering liver, pancreas and small bowel transplant at Birmingham Children's Hospital. And finally, next Sunday is the 21st of July. In 1920, 12 people died in Belfast riots, which took place between the 21st and the 24th of July, while sectarian violence continued in Derry. In 1922, the Free State Army took Waterford from the anti-treaty Republicans. In 1972, Bloody Friday is what it was called in Belfast. The Provisional IRA killed 19 and injured 130 in 22 bomb attacks. And in the year 2000, approval was granted to open a €30 million marine research centre in Galway. There we go. That's a very quick look at some of the things that were happening in and around and in relation to Ireland back through the years on this coming week. Let's take a track from this man. Here's Passenger. Here's a song called "He Leaves You Cold."
Standing on your doorstep, my love. So aren't you gonna invite him in? Well, isn't he everything you want? Oh no, I forgot. You want everything. Well, your mom, she says he's the perfect catch. He tells you you're the perfect match. But I know he leaves you cold. He leaves an ice cube in your heart and a snowflake in your soul. I know that he leaves you cold. Tapping on your window, my love.
You're pretending you're not there. But he's in your car parked outside. Oh no, you forgot to turn the lights off upstairs. Well, your friends, they tell you he's what you need. But how the hell would they know what you need? But I know he leaves you cold. You leave an ice cube in your heart and a snowflake in your soul. I know, I know, I know that he leaves you cold. Well, I know that you're lonely. Even when he's around. But my love, he's not the only game in town.
That's a fabulous song. It comes from Passenger, a song called He Leaves You Cold. I like his voice. I think it's absolutely great. And you can hear all the words. You can understand what it's all about. Ah, the simple things in life. I was in La Hinch, you know that, last weekend. Not the weekend just gone, but the weekend before that. And I met the Casey family, who were from Gloucester in the UK. And they have Irish relatives in and around the Burren in County Clare. And I was chatting to them about the golf and about the weather and about all sorts of things. But they told me that they come to visit San Pedro, just up the road, on a regular basis. They're familiar with Talk Radio Europe, and I was amazed to know that they were familiar with Live on Era. It's nice when you're walking around Ireland and somebody's familiar with the Irish programme that you present on a Spanish radio station. Seriously, it is nice. But we got chatting about music, and I said, look, I'll give you what I mentioned some evening. And they said, will you do us a favour? There's a lovely tenor by the name of Jerry Lynch living in the Burren. I said, I know Jerry personally, and I do. And they said, oh, wow, would you ever play something from him? I have done so in the past, but I'm very happy to do so. And I've chosen this one for you. I hope you like it. It's a lovely track from Jerry Lynch for the Casey family that I met in La Hinch over the about 10 days ago now at this stage. Here's a song called Hear My Song, Violetta.
My song, Violetta, hear my song beneath the moon. Come to me in my gondola. My song. time when the dawn is breaking through, still with me in my gondola. Across the water, can't you hear it soft and low? A tale of love and lovers singing long ago. Hear my song in my gondola, waiting on the old lagoon.
That's a beautiful song, isn't it? And sung absolutely beautifully by Jerry Lynch from Kilfenora in County Clare. And I dedicate that to the Casey family, whom I met not so long ago in Lahinch. And look forward to maybe having a cup of tea or maybe something else like coffee when you're in San Pedro. We pop down and say hello. So there you have it. Right, let's do a very quick break. Come back to me just after that and all hell is going to break loose because George Lee is going to be joining me to talk to me about some of the stories that made headlines in Ireland over the past 7 days or thereabouts.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
I am delighted to say that there is another G2 summit this week. I kind of missed it last week. The two G's. I'm Ger Sweeney and George Lee joins me by Skype. George, good to talk to you again.
Ah, sure, Ger. It's lovely to talk to you as well.
You were away on your holidays. Had you a nice time?
I was on my Holly Baxter and it was absolutely wonderful, thank goodness.
Yeah. It was the week that has just passed, the week that Arret forced the closure of the members' bar in Dáil Éireann, and there was plenty of commentary on social media, only one rat and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, the serious news: Ireland's economic outlook remains coloured by uncertainty, according to the European Commission's summer economic forecast. George, the government is telling us how well we're doing and we're not seeing a whole lot of it on the ground.
This is the strangest economic set of circumstances that I've ever recalled having. We keep being told how well the economy is doing. I'm not seeing it on the ground, Ger. I'm not experiencing it on the ground. I'm not hearing people. The economic indicators are not all fantastic. Average weekly earnings, it said, rose by 3.4% according to the report. I haven't seen that. CSO said it was a 3.3% increase in average wages compared to 2018. I don't know that either, you know.
Of course, George, a lot of these pay rises could be all down to the public sector workers who are getting their benchmarking again, and they're going back to where their money was when it was taken down. And there've been a lot of strikes and disputes. And maybe they're the figures that are, because I don't think self-employed people are seeing it.
Well, they're not seeing it. Our people in the private sector aren't seeing it, sure. It isn't feeding through there. But what you do notice is that prices are beginning to creep up again. That pressure in the economy is going to lead to, I would say, a winter of discontent this year, especially if there is an election, which there is beckoning at some point.
Yeah. George, let's move on. And a good news story with County Clare at the heart of it, a new worldwide system that allows emergency services to locate a crashed aircraft has been launched in County Clare. The world's first ever global aircraft location and emergency response tracking alert system is called Alert. Can track an aircraft in difficulty anywhere in the world. It's a great old development.
At his journey, and it's wonderful to see Ballygreen, you know, becoming the centre of the world again. After all of those years, of course, Shanwick air traffic control based covering the entire North Atlantic from Ballygreen going back all the way to the 1950s. This is called the Aireon Alert Service, and it's the first of its kind in the world. It's going to be based in Ballygreen, and it's believed so had such a system being in place when Malaysian Airlines MH370 disappeared in 2014. The last recorded position of that aircraft aircraft would have been known. Incredible. And the jet could have been found. So that's how important this is. What really amazed me about this story is the line that until now, only 30% of the Earth's surface was monitored through conventional ground radar surveillance. That just seemed remarkable to me. And the system, which is now live, is free service available to commercial aircraft operators, aviation regulators, and search and rescue organizations. I have to say, particularly while I was away, and I started to use these flight aware apps and all of that, and they're just wonderful to be able to track things in real time.
Indeed. And it was Pat Flynn wrote that story, a mutual colleague of ours, but on the night it appeared on the journal, I actually had a conversation with Pat and we were talking about it, and he is saying that this is the best thing since the sliced pan equivalent in aviation. So let's hope it saves many a life, or if it doesn't save lives, let's hope that the lives of those that are taken and those that are left behind can at least find them and give them a burial. Wouldn't it be nice?
It would be absolutely superb to think. And to think that that was based in County Clare, even better.
Yeah, that is great. Ireland needs to face up to the ugly truths of what a no-deal Brexit would look like, Taoiseach Simon Coveney said during the week, as he warned that Irish society needs to focus on getting prepared for a UK exit from the EU in October. How difficult is it for us to prepare for something that we don't understand or we don't know yet?
We've been talking about this ad nauseum for so long. We won't know what it looks like until it happens. You know, you can prepare a certain amount for it. I really don't think the British population have a clue of what's coming either, you know. No. I spent a little bit of time in Northern Italy, as you know, in the last while. And the amount of British tourists that are there, and I was kind of looking at it at one point and I was saying, how is this going to impact here? You know, what's going to be different next year for them? And then you walk through the airports and there's EU channels and non-EU channels, and you're saying, well, maybe that's where it's going to be different for them. Maybe Petty the Englishman isn't going to notice it until that happens.
And indeed, the European countries that depend on tourism from the UK.
Absolutely, yeah, including Ireland.
There was a lot of tension in Northern Ireland over the past week or so in the lead up to the 12th of July commemorations. But despite the media coverage of the preparations, there's been a relatively sensible approach to marches and bonfires and events surrounding the 12th. I know that there were 8 arrests, I think, which is, it's not so bad, is it?
Look, there's probably 8 arrests in Dublin on St. Patrick's Day, Ger.
At least.
I wouldn't be getting excited about that. Maybe we've matured a small little bit. I don't know. I mean, I remember a time when they were marching up and down a road, if you can remember it. And there, this thing was going on for a month. Even if you watch Derry Girls, for instance,
yes.
People left Derry. People left their homes.
But they still do, George. Travel.
But they left in great numbers, George, just to avoid this.
I was listening to an RTE programme and there was somebody being interviewed on the early morning programme, and she said, but the good thing is that, you know, a lot of the nationalist community, they're all in Donegal now on their holidays, or they're in Cavan or in Monaghan. They still leave in droves from Derry and Belfast and other centres.
Yeah, but look, how much of it anymore, Ger, is down to having to go or wanting to go. That's the other side of this.
Let's strike a musical note, shall we? And we're all familiar with the fabulous musician Tony McMahon and of course the Willie Clancy Summer School in Milltown Malbay. Over 200 people attended a tribute to the musician and broadcaster Tony McMahon at the Willie Clancy Summer School last Tuesday. The school honours a notable musician every year, and recent tributes have focused on Tommy Peoples, Seamus McMahona, Mick Hand and Mick O'Connor. And this year's tribute was curated by the newly appointed director of the Irish Traditional Music Archive, Liam O'Connor. Isn't it lovely to see stalwarts of the Irish traditional music scene being respected in this way and tribute being paid to them while they're still with us?
It really is. That Willie Week has just grown and grown and grown over the years. It marks us out as unique in the way that we've managed to look after our archive of material. A fellow schoolman of ours, I suppose, was instrumental in an awful lot of this, in Ciarán McMahona, over the years. He just was a wonderful, wonderful man. Ciarán would have always said, we should remember people as they live rather than be putting up monuments to them after they die. Tony McMahon, what hasn't he contributed? He really has been a wonderful asset. So, yes, it's lovely to see it. I was also delighted to see that he was present for the tribute and sat in the front row, having been brought to Dublin. And I love this line by the flute player Des Geraghty.
Yeah.
I mean, again, knowing Des over the years, Des, of course, has been foremost in the union scene in Ireland for more years than he cares to remember. But interestingly, I was away a little bit earlier on this year as well in Belgium.
Are you ever at home, George?
In Belgium at one of the gravesides, we had a lady on the tour with us, and she sang a most beautiful song at the grave of Willie Redmond. And when I asked her where she learnt it, she said Des Geraghty had taught it to her at a session they have every Wednesday night in Liberty Hall. So look, it's alive and well, Gerard. You know, no one is being forced into Irish music anymore. No one is being forced into Irish culture anymore. It's very much part of what we are.
All right. And we'll finish off this week, George, on a sad note, because we woke in Ireland on Thursday morning to the sad news of the death of two very prominent people. One of those, a man by the name of Noel Whelan. He was a barrister and a campaigner. Talk to me about Noel Whelan.
Noel Whelan was a highly intelligent man, came from Fianna Fáil stock in Wexford. But where he burst on the scene for me very much was over the last number of elections. I used to love Noel Whelan's sophology, as he used to call it himself, which is the study of elections and electioneering. He had nuances on, the third box that comes out of Killester is usually the one that's the barometer for the rest. Country. Wow. And he knew the election scene in Ireland so well. The other thing was that even though he came from a Fianna Fáil gene pool very much, on that day of an election, Noel Whelan called it as it was, always. He was never coloured with green tinged spectacles from a Fianna Fáil point of view.
Okay.
The other thing was that he was very much a Liberal campaigner, would have been very much on the side, particularly in the marriage equality referendum.
Yes.
He was only 50 years of age, which is too damn young. He certainly will leave a massive gap for me the next time that there's a general election called.
And the other notable person who died too young as well, although he did manage to get 18 years longer than Noel Whelan. Now, that is the legend that was the entertainer Brendan Grace, who died at 68 after a very short illness. Brendan Grace made us all laugh at some point, didn't he?
He did. And, you know, the remarkable thing that I suppose that I've been noting over the last couple of days is that when you talk to people, everybody seems to have a private Brendan Grace story.
Yeah.
And that marks the man out a little bit. We all got to meet Brendan at some point. My abiding memory of him, believe it or not, is in 1988, going to a house party in a house in Carberley, Limerick, walking into the kitchen, and there was Brendan over in the corner telling jokes.
Right.
He had been doing an overnight. It was a friend of mine from the airport business. Your man had said, "Sure, come bunk down in my house. I'm having a party tonight." And Brendan, never one to miss a party, wound up in the corner. So you indeed, Ger, I know, conducted a fantastic interview with him in the last while as well, in the last couple of months.
I did in January,
I listened to that a little bit over the last couple of days as well. And I think you got a flavour of the man.
I had interviewed him on many occasions, but this was a chance to sit down with him over a coffee and a scone, and he spoke so fabulously and so lovingly about his relationship with County Clare, particularly, even though I was looking for something for the Spanish radio programme, but he gave me lots for Clare, but he gave me lots of other stuff, and it was just the most enjoyable hour and a half that I spent with him.
I particularly loved the story that he told, Gerard, this one that you might just recall quickly about Tommy Drennan and the Monarchs.
He was in the bar, and himself and Eileen, his wife, and he was playing in the bar earlier on, and he knew that Tommy Drennan and the Monarchs, and he considered them to be like the Beatles of Ireland. And he said to Eileen, "Come on, we'll go in and we'll have a look after their gig." And so he went and he met Tommy Drennan, and then he just happened to say it was his 21st birthday. And somebody went off into the kitchen, got one of the chefs there to put something together, and they threw him a 21st birthday party in the West County in Ennis. And it meant the world to him because, as I said, he considered this to be like the Irish Beatles were throwing him a party, and he was only 21, and it was just wow for him. Nice story.
Great story. And to hear the names of Dennis Allen and the other members of the Monarchs mentioned in it as well was superb. Ar yeshde, definitely, George.
Ar yeshde go reva anam dealish. Right. I think what we'll do, George, is leave it at that. And you know what? Let's take a little funny piece from Brendan to remind us of how he could make us laugh. And then we'll take a track. We'll take The Dutchman, because The Dutchman was a song that was very close to his heart. And I know one that he enjoyed singing very much. So we'll finish on that and say thank you very much for taking the time out to talk to us today. And we look forward to the next G2 Summit next week.
God bless.
Thanks, George. Here is the great man.
This is the truth. I didn't know what it was like to sleep on my own till I got married. It's the truth. Honest. Because I, you see, I come from a large family, you know. There was only two of us, but we were huge. But where we lived in the Liberties in Dublin, you know, we used to have a kind of a communal bedroom. It was kind of a communal, for the kids. You know, it was a community bedroom. We all used to sleep in it. I can remember 17 of us in one bed. That's no kidding. No, a single bed. We were all stacked like turf up in the bed. And those on the top were the luckiest. Because there was 11 of them were bedwetters. I learned how to swim before I could walk. Ah, they were great bloody days. You'd wake up in the morning, there'd be a rainbow in the bedroom. In it. You wouldn't have to go outside. There'd be a rainbow in the bedroom. I'm going to bed that night, and my mum used to say to me, "Which end of the bed do you want tonight?" I say, "The shallow end, ma."
Oh, how he could make us laugh. Hard to say, but the late, great Brendan Grace, who passed away last Thursday. Right, that's my lot for today. Going to leave you with the song, as I said, when I was talking to George, called The Dutchman from Brendan. May I say thank you to George for the G2 Summit today. Thank you also to Patricia Traynor for her contribution. As always, absolutely brilliant. Can I say thank you to our Spanish-Irish cultural correspondent and consultant, Jose Antonio Sierra. But most of all, can I say thank you to you for listening to Live on Era. I do hope you've enjoyed the programme as much as I have enjoyed putting it together and presenting it to you. Thank you to emeraldconnection.net as well. Look forward to your company next Monday. In the meantime, look after yourselves and each other, and we'll leave you with Brendan. From me, Ger Sweeney, until next week. Bye bye now.
The Dutchman's not the kind of man to keep his thumb jammed in the dam that holds his dreams in. But that's a secret only Margaret knows. When Amsterdam's golden in the morning, Margaret brings him breakfast. She believes him. He thinks the tulips bloom beneath the snow. He's mad as he can be, but Margaret only sees that sometimes. She often sees her unborn children in his eyes. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that for me. The Dutchman still wears wooden shoes, his cap and coat are patched with the love that Margaret sewed in. Sometimes he thinks he's still in Rotterdam. He watches tugboats down canals and calls out to them when he thinks he knows the captain. Then Margaret comes to take him home again, through unforgiving streets that trip him, though she holds his arm. Sometimes he thinks that he's alone and he calls her name.
Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee.
long ago. I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that for me. In. She wraps his muffler tight as they sit in the kitchen. Some tea with the whiskey keeps away the dew. He sees her for a moment, calls her name. She makes his bed up, singing some old love song. Song she learned when it was very new. She sings a line or two. They hum together in the night. The Dutchman falls asleep and Margaret blows the candle out.
Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago I used to be a young man,
and dear Margaret remembers that for me.
Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago I used to be a young man,
and dear Margaret remembers that for me.
Ger Sweeney presents Live on Era in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit TRE.radio.